this is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the mountainside grounds at Grimmore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
Nicholas, Bishop of Myra, was born to riches. But when he learned for himself what it meant to be poor, his heart was torn with compassion, and the entire course of his life was changed by the discovery. So it came about that his name survived through 16 centuries as a symbol of generosity, and the compassionate St. Nicholas gradually became the modern Santa Claus.
Our story begins in Asia Minor in the year 300. In a poor neighborhood of one of the villages, two sisters are sitting in their open doorway, worried by their trouble.
Oh, Ruth, what can I do with a sister that spends all her time in tears?
Oh, go away, Nina. Let me cry in peace.
Now, stop that. It isn't enough that Father's in one of his spells. You have to add your wailing to my troubles. What's the matter, anyway?
Nothing.
Well, then stop crying over nothing and comb your hair. You look a sight.
Who cares how I look?
Oh, for that matter, who cares how any of us looks? Daughters of a wool comber. All three of us could paint our faces green and the village wouldn't even notice it. Now, you listen to me, my girl. I know very well why you're going around with red eyes.
Well, all right, Nina. If you know, why do you ask me?
Have you no more sense than to grieve your heart away for a man that never so much as looks at you?
Oh, I know it.
As if John, with his fine clothes and his own horse and that big farm he'll inherit from his grandmother, couldn't marry any one of a dozen girls. He won't choose a poor woolcomber's daughter without a dowry. You might as well reach for the moon.
I know.
Well, then, in heaven's name, Ruth, why don't you stop?
Well, I just can't.
You can if you try. Look at me. Don't you suppose I'd like to be married as much as you or Mary would? But do I go around crying about her? Not I. I say to myself that men are a sorry lot, and I waste no more time thinking about them.
Oh. Oh, you do?
Yes.
What of our neighbor Gregory?
Gregory?
Yes.
Oh, a fat little man that's losing his hair. What would I see in him?
Well, just the same. That day he stopped here to talk to Father, and his little boy came into the house to get warm. You couldn't do enough for the child.
Well.
And when Gregory came to the door after him, you blushed and smiled and giggled until I felt ashamed of you. You're a nice one to talk about pride.
All right, it's true. Ever since Gregory's wife died, I've not been able to get him out of my mind. When I think that he may marry some woman who will abuse those children of his, I can hardly bear it. But they're such dear children. If I could only have them for my own.
I'm sorry. I know, Nina. I've known for a long time. I heard you crying after Gregory and the boy went home.
He likes me. I know he does. If I had a dowry... Now, listen. That Mary just come home. Don't let her hear us. She'll have her own heartache soon enough.
Oh, girls, what do you think? As I was going down the street past the church with the bundle of wool in my arm, the nicest boy was coming up the street the other way, and he ran right into me and knocked the wool out of my arms into the road.
And the wool got dirty, I suppose. And if Father finds out, he's apt to beat you. I don't see anything to feel so happy about in that.
Oh, but wait until you hear the rest of it. So the nice boy picked up the wool, said he was awfully sorry and what was my hurry, and we stood there and talked for a long time. He wanted to know where I live, who my father is.
And you told him?
Why, yes, of course. And he said that if he ever happened to be out this way, he might stop in. Oh, do you think he will?
You needn't stay home for him. He won't come. Even if he should, you won't see him.
Well, Nina, why?
Because I say so. If Mother were alive, she'd say the same thing.
You're spiteful and mean, Nina, just because you're the oldest and Father says we must do as you say. You think you can order us around as if we were children. I'm not a child anymore. I'm 15. And if I want to see him, I certainly shall.
You'll do nothing of the kind.
Just because you never got married yourself, just because you hate
shush,
men...
Mary, shush.
I won't shush. Just because she's a crabby old maid and doesn't want anybody to have any fun.
Mary. A crabby old maid. And for my own sister that I've loved and cared for ever since she was a baby. All right. I do hate men. I hate every one of them, I tell you. I wouldn't marry the best man on earth.
Now, see what you've done. Aren't you ashamed of yourself? Don't you know she's eating her heart off for Gregory and his three little children?
Gregory? Oh, my goodness, no.
Mary. Mary, that isn't funny. Why do you suppose Nina hasn't married? Why do you suppose I haven't married? Because no man wants to marry a girl that hasn't so much as a linen sheet for a dowry.
Oh, but is that really true, Ruth?
Nina didn't want you to see that young man. She didn't want you to be hurt as we've been.
Well, can't any of us ever have a home, a husband and children?
It'll be short of a miracle if any of us should.
That's unjust. It's cruel. Just because we're poor, can't we have anything at all? I wouldn't want a big house, just a tiny house, all of my own, a little garden where I could plant flowers.
Oh, you may as well stop dreaming about it. Men don't marry poor girls, and that's all there is to it.
Oh, poor Nina. I'm sorry I was so mean to her. She's right, too. She hates men, and so do I.
Mary.
Well, you needn't look at me like that. I tell you, I
Mary,
hate them.
Mary, you needn't tell them so.
Well, what do you mean?
Look, there, through the door. There's a man sitting there on the bench. I suppose he wants to see Father.
Oh, we don't have to talk to him. I can't. I'd die of shame if I had to look at him after the way we've been going on.
Well, go in the next room, then, Mary. I'll find out what he wants. Are you waiting for the wool comber, sir?
Yes. Is he at home?
He's gone down the street. He should be back soon.
Do you mind if I wait for him?
You were here without my permission. Must you have my permission to remain?
I'm sorry. I didn't intend to be rude. I couldn't help overhearing your conversation.
If you had risen from the bench and walked down to the gate, you would have heard less of it.
Yes, that's true, and I beg your forgiveness. I assure you I didn't stay here listening from idle curiosity.
No?
No. Strange. Do you know I never realized before that there were girls too poor to have a dowry?
Well, you know now that there are.
Yes. In fact, I never thought much about poverty. It was only a word to me. I suppose I always knew that some people were poor, but I never thought much about it. It must be terrible to be hungry and cold and unhappy.
You with your fine clothes. I suppose it amuses you to find that people live as we do, if you can call it living. Now, if I've told you everything you want to know, I'll leave you. You may wait here for Father if you like, but I can't tell you how soon he'll be back.
Wait, don't go yet. I want to ask you something.
What more would you like to know?
I only want to say... Perhaps you think too much of your poverty. Our Lord was poor in earthly goods all his life. He willed to bear poverty for us. Can't we bear poverty bravely for him?
You sound like a priest.
That is what I hope someday to be. And I intend to do what I can to help the poor. In this hour, I've learned the meaning of compassion.
Compassion?
For the first time, I felt the suffering of the poor as if they were my own. Believe me, I am sorry for all three of you. Will you give me your forgiveness and tell me your name?
Why, yes. My name is Ruth. My older sister is Nina, and the younger, the one who ran away, is Mary.
My name is Nicholas. As I told you, my mother and father died when I was a baby. They left me a large fortune, and I've had plenty of trouble with it. Servants are not always kind to an orphan child. Guardians are not always honest. But enough of that. I only mention it to show you that riches may sometimes be almost as heavy a burden as lack of riches.
My father's coming now. Oh, dear, it's just as I feared. He's been to the tavern. I can tell by the way he walks. Father!
Yes, Ruth?
Father, there's a gentleman waiting to see you.
Well, let him wait. Pretty note if a man can't step out of a tavern for a quiet word with friends. I'm coming back to find all the world waiting outside his door. Where's Mary?
Father, this young man, he wants to talk to
me. Well, sir, what do you want?
I want to arrange for the delivery of some wool to my tailor. He's making me a pilgrim's robe. He's been unable to secure proper wool for it.
Well, let me tell you, young sir, I have the best wool to be had. I'd have you know I'm an expert at combing. All the best dealers come to me. What good that does. What can a man do when three lazy daughters eat their head off in his house? I work my fingers to the bone for them. What thanks do I get? This morning, one of them goes to deliver an order. And what do you suppose? He drops it in the street. The fat customer meets me, says, what do I mean by sending soiled wool? Soiled, I says. That wool left my hands as white as the driven snow. I said, where is that confounded girl? I've plenty to say to
Father,
her before I'm
Father,
through.
Father, please, this young gentleman wants to talk to me.
Then I want to talk to Mary. Now, this ends it, I tell you. You three leave my house and shift for yourselves
please,
from today on.
Father,
I'm sick and tired.
Please.
The young gentleman's not my master. Now, let him wait, I'm telling you. You and your sisters get out of my house this very day.
Sir, listen to me a moment. Surely you don't intend to turn your three daughters into the street. Where would they go? How would they make a living?
Where's their lookout?
Please,
it's none
go,
of my
Nicholas.
Affair
go
when they leave.
I'll not go and leave you. Now, sir, listen to me. I came here to give you an order, and you have insulted me. That doesn't matter. But I will not stand idly by and let you work off your temper on three helpless girls.
Huh? What business is of yours what I do?
Raise that stick in your hand against your daughter, and you may
I
find
raise
out.
Raise the stick.
If I were you, I'd drop the stick. I said drop it.
Well,
that's better. Now, sit down on this bench. I want to talk to you.
Well, sit down. No need to get excited. I meant no offense.
Are you sober enough to know what I'm saying?
I meant no offense, young sir. I meant no offense. Worry's driven me nearly crazy. Three girls, not a husband in sight. Oh, what father wouldn't be nearly beside himself?
You should be ashamed of yourself. God has given you three lovely daughters and the responsibility for their future. What will you say to him when you come before him in judgment?
Well, if their mother had only lived...
God has given you the responsibility. Accept it graciously and fulfill it to the best of your ability. Then, in moments when you know yourself for the man you really are, you'll preserve your self-respect.
No one's ever talked to me like this before. There's truth in what you say.
You will think of it?
Yes. Yes, I'll think of it.
In return, I can promise you one thing. If you will do your part in caring for your family, God will not be outdone in generosity. Who knows? Within a few months, the course of your lives may have changed entirely. And now, how about that wool for my pilgrim's robe? My good sir, I would like to...
That evening, while the father slept heavily and the three sisters tiptoed about in fear of waking him...
Well, what did Nicholas say to him?
Not a great deal, nor did he say a great deal to me. Yet from the moment we talked together, I felt ashamed of my complaining. And I felt hopeful that somehow life was going to take a turn for the better.
I've never known Father to be so thoughtful before. That Nicholas must be a strange young man. It's almost as if he brought the spirit of kindness itself into the...
Oh, what was that? Something fell through the window. It looks like a bag of something.
It is a bag of something heavy.
What is it?
Do you suppose I dare open it?
Well, of course, open it. Here, give it to me.
Why, it's for me. See? Here, printed on the side of the bag, the letters N-I-N-A.
Nina.
Girls. It's gold. It's a whole bag full of gold coins. Oh. Run to the door, quick. See if anybody's there.
Oh, I'm sure I saw someone run through the shrubbery.
Well, there's no one there now.
But who could it have been? Whom do we know that has a bag of gold coins? Who would give it to us if he did?
Could it be Nicholas?
Nicholas?
Yes. He told me his father and mother died and left him a fortune. And he told me he felt sorry for all three of us. It was Nicholas, I'm sure of it. Oh, Nina, when news of this gets out and Gregory hears of it, why, don't you see? That bag of gold coins is your dowry.
Three times in all, a bag of gold fell through the window. And three times in the parish church of the village, a daughter of the Woolcomber married the man she loved and went as a radiantly happy bride to her own home. And as the years went on, there was frequent mention of the good St. Nicholas in the new homes that his generosity had made possible.
But, Mother, what was he like?
Well, he was handsome, but there was much more than beauty in his face. He was kind, kinder than anyone I ever knew. Why, if it hadn't been for him, your father and I could never have married.
But didn't you ever see him again?
Well, your grandfather saw him once more when he tossed my dowry through the window. Your grandfather had been hiding in the shrubbery to find out who was giving us our dowries, and he seized him before he could get away. Nicholas was wearing his pilgrim's robe then, and he was going to leave the next day for a pilgrimage to the holy places.
And did he go, Mother?
Well, I've heard that he did. And when he returned, he became a priest, and finally was consecrated bishop. Oh, there's someone at the door. Dear, run and see who it is.
All right, Mother.
Probably Aunt Nina and Gregory on their way home from market.
Hello, little boy. Could I have a drink of water?
It's an old man. He wants a drink of water, Mother.
Well, take him one, dear. You can lift the gourd down from the spike, can't you? Fill it with water and be careful not to spill any.
The gourd's not here, Mother.
Well, just a minute. Oh, good day, sir. Just a moment and I'll bring you the water.
Thank you. You're very kind.
Won't you come in and rest? The day's warm. You look tired.
I am. I should like to sit down here on the bench, if I may.
Mother, I found the gourd. It was under the table.
Well, fill it and bring it carefully.
Yes, Mother.
Now, don't spill it. Could I offer you something to eat, Father?
Thank you, no. I'm not hungry.
You're not from this parish.
No, I come from the city.
Here, Father.
Thank you, my little man. This fine spring water is very refreshing.
Yet I'm sure I've seen you somewhere. May I ask your name?
I am Nicholas, Bishop of Myra.
Bishop Nicholas? The same Nicholas who once gave dowries to three penniless girls so they might marry.
Then you are not Ruth, the one I talked to.
No, I'm Mary, the one who looked at you through the door and then ran away. Oh, my Lord Bishop, you brought a great blessing to our house that day. The spirit of kindness. Why, all our lives changed after your visit. Father never flew into his rages again, and we girls stopped quarreling among ourselves.
I myself found a blessing at your house, Mary. It was on the bench outside that door I first learned compassion, to feel pity for others. I think God led me to you that day, for your sakes and mine as well. But tell me, are you happy?
I'm very happy, Bishop Nicholas. You see my little home just as I used to dream it would be. This is my youngest child. The older ones are helping their father in the fields. Why, this little one was only now wishing he might see you. Yes, dear? This is our good Bishop Nicholas, whom Mother's told you so much about.
Good Bishop Nicholas. Mother says wherever you go, you make people happy. I wish you'd stay with us, Bishop Nicholas.
I'm afraid I can't do that, little one. A bishop hasn't much time to visit.
But you'll come again, good Bishop Nicholas, and stay with us again?
Perhaps I may come this way again, my son. Perhaps not. But if you wish for me, and I'm not here, it won't matter too much. Because I'm going to tell you a secret.
A real secret?
Yes. something many of us never learn. It's only when we begin to think of others instead of ourselves that we find happiness. Our Lord taught us that it's far more blessed to give than to receive. Like everything he taught, that will always be true. So if you wish for me and I don't come, you forget yourself for the moment and do something for someone else. The first thing you know, you'll find that you're happy.
But suppose you're poor and haven't anything to give to anybody.
Even the poorest of us may give a kind word or a cheering smile.
Yes, Bishop Nicholas.
And there's another thing to remember as well. When you do a kindness for anyone, it's as if you planted a tree from which seeds for a million other kindnesses will fall. For kindness always begets kindness.
And with his blessing on the little family, the good Bishop Nicholas went on his way, leaving to all future generations his example of kindness and generosity. And today, as then, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And today, as always, kindness blesses both him who gives and him who receives it.